now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello. Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Laura Lanamy.
Today on the show,
Sasky Five.
She's back, and this time talking Orgasian.
Out Stories Bristol.
It's LGBT History Month, so we're finding out more about this organisation.
And Under the Brolly.
If you're not sure what this month's about, they'll have all the info. Coming today, right here on Shout Out. Sorry, Saskia was getting a bit carried away there, did you notice? Just kicking in halfway through the beginning of the intro.
Yeah, I was just like, damn, she's raring to go.
I was like, what's going on? I didn't realise we're on.
Everyone wants a bit of us, that's it.
Everyone wants a bit of us. Always.
Absolutely.
Always.
Yeah. That's it.
You've got all kinds of delights here, haven't we?
Hello, Your Ladyship. Oh, I've got a drink in some.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, to drink in.
I got a bit of a cold, so I was just lubricating the throat.
With what? I mean, I know it's in a water bottle, but it's a clear liquid vodka, perhaps?
Yeah, vodka's meant to help the throat, isn't it?
Is it really?
Well, yeah, but you
gargle with it.
I thought that was honey, honey.
Honey, oh. Anyway, welcome to new studio, Laura.
I know, it's amazing. I feel like I'm in a very high-tech place, and I love it. It's so new and I don't know.
That's nice,
it's great,
isn't it?
Isn't it? It's like the bridge of the Starship Enterprise in front of Andy.
He's
Mr. Sulu.
Me, Mr. Sulu, thank you.
Oh, well, George Takei, of course, is... was one of the...
I'm not as camp as George Takei. Please don't tell me
He's great. I love George Takei.
I do too, but I'm nothing like him.
You're camp personified.
Thanks.
If you look at camp in a dictionary, your face will be right there.
You can go off people, you know. So anyway, hello, Andy.
Hello.
Now, boys, tell me, it's a special day today, isn't it?
It's World Radio Day. It's World Radio Day, yeah, which is...
There seems to be a day for everything.
Well, there is, actually. I mean, if you look at, you know, your calendar, I've got a calendar at work which has all the different religious festivals and secular observances, and since 1946, the United Nations has recognised this day in February, once a year, as World Radio Day.
Oh, yeah. happy World Radio Day.
Yeah.
It is. It's celebrated on February the 13th.
The day just before.
I was going straight into Bristolian. How sweet.
Can you do Non-Bristolian? I've never known you do Non-Bristolian.
Okay, darling.
Think BBC Radio 4.
Yes.
Andy said it as well.
Radio is a powerful medium for celebrating humanity and all its diversity, and constitutes a platform for democratic discourse.
So you can't even say it right in Bristolian.
One of the really nice things that UNESCO says is radio stations should serve diverse communities, offering a wide variety of programs, viewpoints and content.
Absolutely.
And reflect the diversity of audiences in their organizations and operations.
I think we have that.
I hope certain stations are listening to this.
Yes, absolutely. I think this one that you're listening to now, though, does do that.
Absolutely.
Well,
we tick every single box here at BCFM.
Yes. Well, I mean, BCFM is, you know, licensed to be the multi-ethnic community radio station for Bristol.
And it is.
Yeah, and absolutely. Anyone that thinks that we don't, feel free to come and give us suggestions.
Absolutely. Get involved in community radio.
Yeah, that's, we love more people here.
That's the great thing about it. You know, I counted today. There are two.
You did?
One,
well
two,
done.
Three.
To four.
You use your maths.
To four.
Oh, Terry.
I don't know.
You're
so
clever.
She's here like once a month. Ooh, you know.
No, there are currently 292 community radio stations in Britain.
Yeah. And that's they all started from Pirate.
A lot of them did, yeah. Actually, in fact, Laura will be interested. This year we're marking 40 years since the start of the first all-black radio station in Britain.
Oh, okay.
It's called the Dread Broadcasting Corporation, set up by Papa Lepke, who recently passed on, unfortunately. But he's a relative of Rita Marley, believe it or not. And he set up a pirate station in 1980, which was black run and led and played soca and reggae and soul. Never heard really before on London's airwaves. So anyway, yes, a lot of them did start out illegally in many countries. And then over the years, different licensing regimens came in and community radio came in different countries. Took a long time in Britain. It was only under the Tony Blair government that they legalised community radio.
Shock horror.
And Bristol's BCFM was the first legal community station in the city, followed by Ujima.
Oh, I didn't realise it was that way, right?
Yeah, yeah. We started March 2007, and then Ujima Community Radio started in 2008. Bradley Stoke Radio up in North Bristol in 2013. And, yep. I mean, it's all very exciting this year because Keynsham Town Community Radio are testing now. We've got their test transmissions
is it
going on.
105.3?
105.8. Eight, they're on if you're in southeast Bristol. And or Keynsham, of course. and SWU, which is a new youth culture station, is launching later this year as well. So it's an exciting year for community radio.
Do you think
Bristol.
Top of the hour, KT will be doing the old Luxembourg advert where they used to spell out Keynsham?
Yeah, you have to be an older person to remember.
Yeah,
that.
I have no
That's
idea what
in
you're
the
saying.
Days of the kind of the hit parade, as Terry likes to call
Radio
it.
Radio Luxembourg had an advert on which spelt Keynsham because the postal address was Keynsham, and no one can spell Keynsham.
No,
only people from Keynsham.
Exactly.
Anyway,
so yes, World Radio Day today.
Another month's gone by. It's a time to catch up with Sasky, see what she's been up to.
Sasky 5. Oh yes.
Welcome to LGBTQ Plus Shoutout Radio, my Sasky 7. Now, our community is not just made up of the LGBTQ Plus queer people that it is. It's also a beautiful mix of ages, races, religions, cultures, beliefs, and also party animals. So, with that in mind, it is my absolute pleasure that I am talking today to Saqib from a proud member of Gaysians. How are you, Saqib?
I'm all right. How are you, my love?
I'm very good. Listen, I love Gaysians. I love everything about Gaysians. But can you tell our listeners a little bit more about what it is?
Okay, Gaysians is a platform set up by Rita Loy about 3 years ago, who's a writer and a musician and an activist. And it's basically, it's like an umbrella, a place to raise visibility for South Asian people who are LGBTQ plus, and we're raising visibility of LGBTQ plus people within our actual community.
Yeah, no, definitely. And that's what I really love. That's what I love when I'm interviewing people within our community. We've so many different pockets, haven't we? So, you know, as an example, you know, Gaysians, it's raising, creating visibility, awareness and empowerment for the South Asian LGBT community. These are also the pockets of our community that actually people don't even know about half the time, right?
Yes, completely.
It's definitely, and correct me if I'm wrong, if we're talking about, you know, another big part of why you were set up was because there might be a lot of backlash for LGBTQ plus South Asians in terms of religion and cultural backgrounds. Is that fair enough to say?
Yes, completely. I mean, sexuality is still quite a taboo subject within kind of the community. And, you know, there are some horror stories of kind of disownment and worse. But, you know, we exist and obviously, you know, we need to kind of be there to support each other, and it's that reason that we exist.
Yeah, no, definitely, and this is why I love to highlight all the great things that people are doing within our community. So, in terms of your role, you are a bit more you're more involved in like the event side of things and also sexual health promotion. Tell us a bit more about. I'll get onto the events because I love the events, but tell us a bit more about the NAS project.
Okay, so the NAS Project is one of our partners, and what they do is they promote, from what I remember, sexual health amongst BAME, you know, the BAME community. Yeah. And obviously, I'm quite new to the role, so last year, Ryan Lange, who runs Hung Armour with NAS, kind of held a series of dinners where we were discussing kind of, you know, what we can do to promote sexual health within our communities, because unfortunately, you know, the great statistic is that men who have sex with men in at least in London, the rates of HIV are dropping. However, within the BAME communities, the rates have stayed the same. They haven't dropped. In some cases, they may even be raising, which is, you know, kind of contradictory to, the stats. And obviously, it is something that we need to look at.
Yeah, definitely. And this is the other thing as well, isn't it? It's, again, you know, there'll be lots of things around shame with that. You know, it's not really something, it's a taboo subject, isn't it? It's not really talked about. Sexual health isn't promoted well enough at the best of times. But I guess if someone's struggling with, their sexual orientation or gender identity, plus, you know, the shame or the issues around cultural or religious beliefs, sexual health is probably lower on the list in terms of their priorities.
Yeah, completely. And I think, you know, it is something that we just, you know, I think as people in general, we just need to demystify it. Mm. And also we need to just take ownership and be aware of, you know, the wonderful services that we have to look after our sexual health, because it's, as you know, it is an important aspect of our lives. Yes, if we're sexually active. So,
yeah.
We go to the doctor if we have a cold, and if we're sexually active, we should get regular checks, and we should, you know, feel at least comfortable to talk to the healthcare providers about things that concern us.
Absolutely, absolutely. And another support service that I saw on the Gaysians website, which is also good, because it's not sexual health as well, but mental health is a real big thing, especially within our LGBTQ plus community. Unfortunately, the statistics are very high in terms of mental health issues. So you also have, just to touch, you've got the British Asian LGBTI as well, which is an online forum, which is about helping to reduce, unite South Asian LGBTI and also reduce isolation. And that's also going to help with mental health, where people can feel they can be themselves online in a safe space and talk openly about any issues that they're going through, which I think is great. I just want to touch as well on, because unfortunately time runs with us as it always does, listen, I said we're party animals, and I love that there's the Club Carly. So can you very quickly tell me a little bit about Club Carly? Because I read here that it said Bollywood beats with Hollywood spark. And I just thought that has just got me written all over it, and I just want to get down there. So tell me, what's happening?
So Club Carly is an institution. If I remember rightly, it was set up by DJ Ritu quite a while ago, and it is just a fabulous fun night. It's open to everyone. It's obviously, as you say, Bollywood beats. So yes. It takes a Bollywood soundtrack and a little bit of glitz and glamour, throw in some drag queens, and you're in for a good night.
Well, listen, where can people find Gaysians? If people want to connect and get involved, like, where's the best place on social media?
So we have our website, which is in the process of being relaunched. Right. We're on Twitter and we're on Instagram as well. Fabulous. So, you know, we are active on both platforms.
Yeah, and literally just Google Gaysians and you're going to come up, really, aren't you? And then hopefully you're going to see photos of me on the Gaysians website at Club Carly soon. So this is really exciting. I just want to say, Saqib, thank you so much. Keep up all the great work that you're doing. I'm loving that you're also part of promoting, positively promoting our LGBTQ plus community, because that's what I'm all about too. So thank you for speaking to me and coming on the show today. So I look forward to hearing more about how Gaysians develops as we go along.
Thank you so much,
Steve. Thank you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's a Lonely. That's by Joel Corry.
Actually, a decent song for once.
Oh, you see what I mean? I mean, it's like she's here like once every.
I know,
month.
And you appreciate it every time.
We do. It's so critical.
I'm back here again, so
critical.
You know.
But doesn't pick the music yourself.
People are listening for.
Doesn't write the show.
Lara's little aside.
They wait for every scathing review every month. They're like, "When's Lara coming back on?"
Can I just ask you, Mr. Shilton, when the red lights come on, because there's two either side of the studio, there, do you feel the need to rush out and stand on the street corner?
No, but I can feel it bouncing off my head.
Okay, just wondering.
What? I'm not as used to red lights as you. I'm sorry.
I always just got right over Martha's head.
Like what?
I always carry my 6-inch stilettos.
She's being facetious. Just ignore her. She's bad as you.
I was extracting the urine.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, on that note, would you gentlemen be kind enough to give us some news headlines?
We would. This is Shout Out News on Thursday the 13th of February. Daniel Offrey, a physician at New York's Bellevue Hospital and experienced medical writer, has penned a piece for the starnews.com health website in which she takes a long look, a long view of the novel coronavirus outbreak and how it compares to both Ebola and HIV. She remarks, times were bleak. Indeed, back when we were swamped with the AIDS patients back in the 1980s and 1990s. It was early in the epidemic when both treatments and scientific knowledge were in short supply, and patients often struggled to obtain medical care. Dr. Offrey goes on, much of the fears we have to face, in fact, are those expressed by our patients. Misinformation abounds, and a lot of our time these days is spent reassuring patients. No, you don't need to wear a mask on the subway. Yes, you should still get a flu shot. This coronavirus is new, and the medical community is still trying to figure out the facts. We have to remember what it felt like when HIV seemed like the Black Plague incarnate. Finally, Dr. Offrey strikes a positive note, saying, luckily, level heads eventually prevailed. Clinicians treated their patients and public health officials pounded the pavement. Activists kept the heat up and research kicked into high gear. And today, HIV sits prosaically alongside cancer, diabetes and heart disease. It's just another ordinary illness that we treat. Yes, complex, but treatable. The same will likely happen with the new coronavirus. We need to acknowledge our fears, the rational and irrational, and then tuck them away into one of our many pockets of our white coats. There is work to be done. Meanwhile, Heather Borer, writing in The Body, the international portal for HIV news and information, has written a lengthy piece entitled Every Stigma That's Old Is New Again, The Coronavirus, HIV and Junk Science. Heather writes, it may be hard to remember now, but there was a time between the discovery of the gay cancer Kaposi's sarcoma and the discovery of HIV, which destroys the immune system if left untreated and leads to AIDS-defining illnesses. But it was in those months and years when the most harmful myths about HIV that still persist were born. These beliefs led to the dehumanising treatment of people living with HIV, such as keeping them in quarantine. Loved ones were often required to don gowns, masks and gloves when they visited, and visitors were even prohibited from touching their dying loved ones. Medical professionals refused to treat people living with HIV, and sometimes roommates kicked out their friends with AIDS out of their apartments, so afraid they were of the Americans spreading HIV. Today, in 2020, we are watching similar events happening again, and this time the harmful rumours that include a link between the novel coronavirus, which is causing an outbreak of severe respiratory symptoms in China, to HIV around the world. Heather's article goes on to debunk myths that have spread around novel coronavirus, and also addresses whether the outbreak has any health implications for people living with HIV today. The answer is probably no, so pop along to thebody.com to learn more and avoid stereotypes which have racist or homophobic tinges. Independent Radio News and the BBC News Channel are reporting that a 52-year-old man from Derry has been charged with the murder of the much-loved and respected lesbian journalist Lyra McKee last April. As you may recall from news coverage in the gay media at the time, Ms. McKee, who was a promising journalistic star, awarded the Sky News Young Journalist Award 4 years ago, was killed when a gunman from a dissident Republican faction shot at police lines during riots in the divided city in Northern Ireland. The BBC notes that her killing caused widespread revulsion across Northern Ireland and united political figures. Her funeral was attended by the then Prime Minister, Theresa May, the Irish Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, and the Irish President, Michael D. Higgins, at St Anne's Cathedral in Belfast.
The People's Republic of Stokes Croft is an arts project based in central Bristol. We have reported before on its range of locally designed pride mugs and how this local not-for-profit cooperative has been dedicated to progressive social change and is an important and lively part of Bristol's well-loved activist community. Now the collective has made a beautiful range of high-quality porcelain mugs with the Trans Pride colours and the slogan Trans Rights Are Human Rights on them. The mugs are part of a wide range of china that underpins the project, all manufactured by some of Britain's most celebrated ceramic factories and from potteries around the regions of the UK, which were acquired under the group's founder, Christopher Chalky, when the industries collapsed. The Republic shop on Jamaica Street, just off Stokes Croft, has also branched out into selling books, particularly by local presses and radical publishing houses. Subjects covered include politics, activism, the environment, diversity, local history and revolution. The outlet sells ground coffee from the Zapista collectives of Mexico and a range of radical badges and stickers.
And finally, the popular street-sold newspaper The Big Issue has long been a friend to LGBTQ people with its liberal reportage and its range of social commentary, interviews and arts pages. Well, last week the paper met with Michael Cashman, the actor, politician and gay rights advocate. Mr Cashman took part in the regular Letter to My Younger Self column, in which guests reflect on how their 16-year-old selves would react to their lives as they have unfolded. Mr Cashman spoke of his knowledge that he was gay at a young age, but also of the damage done to his generation of gay men by the legislative imbalances of the period in which he grew up. Motivated to fight for future generations of LGBTQ people, Cashman spoke out against the government's anti-gay Section 28 legislation in 1988. He joined Stonewall and was also active in pressing for LGBTQ freedom via his work in the Labour Party, reflecting his wider interest in social democracy and human rights. Mr Cashman is also an actor and for a long time played one of the few positive portrayals of gay men on television in the soap opera EastEnders, which coincidentally is this week marking 35 years as the flagship show on BBC One. Mr Cashman was made a life peer in 2014 and now sits in the House of Lords, where he continues to champion international humanitarian issues and secularism. In 2019, he dramatically changed his political allegiance for the more centrist Liberal Democrat Party because of the leftward drift of Labour under Jeremy Corbyn. The Big Issue newspaper is street sold by people who are impacted by fragile housing or homelessness and costs £2.50 every Monday.
For these stories and more, check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr
and Andy Hall.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
React. Pussycat Girl.
Are they
dolls.
Back now?
Well, that was a song that's in the charts.
So. Oh, wow. I guess so.
Are you a fan then?
I used to love them. I used to strut down my rim thinking I was.
Used to.
I mean, I still do. thinking I was a pussycat doll and I was the finest. But obviously I was 13.
So being delusional for quite a few years then.
Do you know what? I'm actually quite glad you're giving it back for once, you know? It's good to have a comeback, you know?
Yeah, but do you like the song though? It's
quite
good, isn't it?
Yeah, I actually do. It's like, it's decent. Like, I can jam to it. Yeah. I wouldn't like... It wouldn't be on repeat.
No.
But it would be on a playlist that I barely listen to.
so not like Yellow then?
Yellow, I'm more of a Fix You kind of girl. So, you know, Yellow's okay, but Fix You just has that crescendo that makes your heart like lift. I love Coldplay.
You keeping up with all this, Robert? Are you down with the latest songs like this one?
I'm trying to, yes.
Jamming in the corner, like tapping his. I was like, yeah.
To be fair, yes, you were sat in the corner having a little bop along,
yeah,
weren't you?
Total respect for that.
Anyway, we ought to say a very warm welcome to Robert, who's from Outstories Bristol. Very warm welcome to shout out to you. Can we kick off by, first of all, just giving the listeners a bit of background? What is Outstories? How does it start?
Outstories is a voluntary organisation that was founded around 2010, and its aim is to record the LGBTQ history of Bristol. So basically, we've over the years collected documents relating to various organisations and individuals. We've done some oral history recordings, so where people talk about their lives, which has been extremely interesting because people have such a wide range of experience. It's absolutely amazing.
So you're celebrating 10 years this year as well, then?
I'm sorry?
It's your 10th birthday this year as well, then, if you started 2010.
It is, yes. Yeah. We hadn't really thought of that, but we don't think about ourselves too much.
No. But, 10 years is quite a while to be collecting stuff, isn't it? Give us some idea, what kind of... I mean, you must have discovered a few little gems over the years that you just thought, wow, never thought we'd find that.
Well, the major collection has been from organisations, so two in particular. One is Gay West, which is a group which is still going, but can trace its ancestry back to the very first LGBT organisation in Bristol, which was Campaign for Homosexual Equality Bristol Group, which was founded in April 1970.
Wow.
And this year is the 50th anniversary of Gay West, and so it's going to be marked by a special event on the 25th of April in Bath, actually, because it's more convenient, but it will be 50 years since the group was founded in Bristol.
They're still going strong now? Are they still going strong now?
Very much so, yes. Wow. Gay West is separate, but works closely with Outstories. It's a social group, and it meets every Saturday morning in Central Bath. It has a coffee morning where anyone that wants to drop in is welcome to come. It's in St. Michael's Centre, which is next to the Little Theatre in Central Bath. So any time between 10:30 and 12:30, people are welcome to come in, have a cup of coffee and talk to people.
So how do you go about selecting the stories, like who gets to talk and things like that? Because I'm guessing you're trying to have as wide a range of people as possible. You've got different communities within the LGBT society. So
To some extent, it's self-selecting. It's people that offer. And also, we're always looking for volunteers, for people that are willing to do the interviews. Most of the interviews were actually done for an exhibition, which we held in M Shed back in 2013. And so we then tried to collect a range of different people, men, women, some trans, different parts of Bristol, some people that were born and brought up in Bristol, people that have come into the city from outside, different age groups as well. One of the... Perhaps shouldn't be surprising, but you need to think about it, is that different generations have very different experiences of being gay, and also, of course, different communities have as well.
Do you feel like there's been a kind of change in terminology, the way people express themselves? Because I know that I use the word queer to identify, but back in the day, that
it's
was
not one I love.
It's not one. No. Yeah, it's not one Andy loves, and I recognise that. So obviously, around certain groups, I don't use it. Do you see this change of language and a change of how people feel? Because now, more so than ever, we can kind of be more out and proud. Maybe not holding hands necessarily, but like, isn't.
Although we should be able to.
We should. But I know that you've talked to me before about not being able to hold hands with your partner, and it's still a struggle. So do you see people being more like open with it?
Oh, absolutely. People are far more open nowadays. I mean, you can hold your hand or kiss people in the street and things like that before you'd either be arrested or beaten up.
Yeah.
The terminology is something, and you have to, as you get older, you have to sort of try and keep up and also use terminology that won't offend people. Queer, for instance, as far as we know, began as a slang word amongst LGBT people. Right, probably before the Second World War. And then it got taken up by the wider community in a pejorative sense. So when I was brought up, queer was very much an insult.
Mm.
then particularly...
Well, didn't gay start as actually meaning happy, because it was...
Well, it's the definition in the dictionary, yeah.
That's right, and in the 70s, gay was the most positive thing you could be, and was used for almost everyone. And then women started saying, oh, we're lesbians, we want to be, you know, recognised as different, has different interests and different needs and so on. Queer came in from the US in the 1990s as part of the AIDS, HIV activism.
So have you seen it a lot the other way too? Because there was a big period, obviously, where things were very suppressed. And one of the things that you see a lot is a lot of LGBT history actually gets wiped out because it gets rewritten into a very heterosexual way.
It's not so much rewritten in a
first place.
But it's just not recorded. I mean, before 1967, people went out of their way not to record things, and a lot of people who wrote love letters and things ended up in prison because it was used as evidence against them. So all incentive was either not to write it in the first place or to destroy it, it's, you know, when you didn't need it anymore. So it's quite difficult, for instance, to find personal letters and so on. And a lot of the documentation is actually part of the repressive apparatus, the court records, the police records, and all that sort of thing. That's where you find a lot of evidence, particularly, well, any time before 1967, as to how people lived. Where we're lucky nowadays is not only we have the freedom, but we have the technology to actually record people's experiences, so that in years to come, people can look back and say, well, this is how people felt, or this is how they lived in the 60s and so on. I mean, in living memory now, you can more or less reach back to probably the 50s. People who were still alive, who were out and about in the 50s, much before that now, there isn't really anybody alive that can remember that. But fortunately, in previous projects, they have recorded them. So we do have, not in Bristol necessarily, but in other parts of the country, recordings of people's memories of what it was like to be gay before the Second World War in the 30s or during the war as well, which is a different period.
That sounds amazing. So how often do you collect these stories? Because obviously, say if it was a person that wanted to come and give you one of my stories, how would I go about doing that? Do you do it every month?
Is it to the individual? Can you do it if you're now? Or?
Well, the best thing is to get in touch with Out Stories and say you'd like to make your story. We depend very much on volunteers who are able to go out and make recordings. We have the equipment, but we do need volunteers. So if anybody's interested in doing that, working with us, that would be another great benefit. So if you'd like to get in touch with us, then we would try and put you in touch with somebody that wants to give their story as well. And then eventually they're kept in M-Shed, in the museum, and they form part of the history of the city
of
Bristol.
So you want past stories. You don't want stories today. You want past stories. Because the thing is, if you have stories today, eventually they will become the past. And wasn't the problem the fact that we didn't have the recording at the time? Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
There's plenty of you on Facebook. It's fine.
I know, but not now.
We don't so much record what people are doing right now. But, for instance, people who were around in the 80s or the 90s, which to some of us doesn't seem very far ago, but to other people was a good time ago. That's certainly of interest because Bristol has changed over that period and will change again. And so what is current now. But I think you, when you're doing oral history, you do gain some sort of perspectives by a bit of distance so that you can look back and place yourself in context and see how you or the area you live in has changed. And then you're able to sort of produce an oral history sort of interview.
Yeah, because I think that's really interesting, but I think it's also, it would be a shame to miss the stories of today's Britain, because in like 10 years time, maybe in 20 years time, hopefully people will be listening back to us and seeing how we felt, no?
Well, I hope they're listening to us from 10 years ago. I mean, we are 10 years old.
I know, yeah, but...
So,
yeah.
And I can actually tell you that Shout Out is in, well, has some of our history in that M-Shed.
That's what I'm kind of looking for. I was like, where's Shout Out
because
in this?
On our very first ever broadcast in our previous studio over at... No, we were seeing community centre, the previous place, wherever it was.
it was Beacon, we don't even know about it now.
We, on the very first one, we actually cracked a bottle of champagne after the show to celebrate the opening, and we all signed that bottle, and it was donated to OutStories and is part of their exhibition.
So. That's so cool.
Anyway, we are we're rapidly running out of time, so I know that one of the things you want to do is, obviously, it'd be lovely to get more people involved. So if people do want to get in touch with you, you online, have you got a website?
Yes, it's two websites to get in touch with. One is outstoriesbristol.org.uk, and that's for Outstories. If you want to find out more about Gay West, go to gaywest.org.uk and you'll find more about the organisations in both those websites.
Brilliant. Listen, thank you so much for coming and talk to us about
I'm sure
we'll have you on again, because we've had Outstories on several times. I have a funny feeling we spoke to you right back at the beginning as well. It's that
I want to play one soul, so. I want to hear.
Anyway, stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out, back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Hi there, and welcome to Under the Brolly, the My Umbrella podcast aiming to educate and inform the wider community about the lesser known LGBT plus sexualities, genders, identities, kinks and fetishes. My Umbrella is a volunteer led support group based in Reading, Berkshire for the lesser known LGBT plus identities. We were launched by Reading Pride in 2015 and our aim is to educate, support and socialise. My name is Steve, and this month, as we find ourselves almost in the middle of February, it is worth noting that this is in fact LGBT History Month. LGBT History Month is an annual month-long observance of lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender history and the history of the gay rights and related civil rights movements. LGBT History Month provides role models, builds communities and represents a civil rights statement about the contributions of the LGBT community. As of 2020, LGBT History Month is a month-long celebration that is specific to Hungary, the United States, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, Brazil, Greenland, and the city of Berlin. It was against the backdrop of the equality movements and marches across the 70s and 80s that LGBT History Month, as it is known today, was created in the US in 1995 and 2005 in the UK by Sue Sanders and Paul Patrick. The event came in the wake of the abolition of Section 28 in 2003, the Employment Equality Sexual Orientation Regulations 2003, as well as the government's proposals to bring in a Single Equality Act and a public duty, although this in fact did not come to fruition until 2010. The month is intended as a means to raise awareness of and combat prejudice against the LGBT community while celebrating its achievement and diversity and making it more visible. The first celebration in 2005 saw the organisation of over 150 events around the UK. In England, the initiative received government backing from the Department for Education and Skills and Equalities Minister, Jackie Smith, although some sections of the press argued against its political correctness and pointed out that the sexuality of some historical figures is more a matter of speculation than fact. The DFES promised funding for LGBT History Month for the first 2 years to help get the event off the ground. It is now very well established and has garnered support from other sources. The early patrons of the month included Cyril Neary, Angela Eagle, Gareth Thomas and Leiby Siffrey. Additional information from outingthepast.com. Outing the Past is an annual festival of LGBT history. In 2015, this saw the first edition of Outing the Past, a festival of LGBT history spearheaded by Dr. Jeff Evans. The festival started in three venues, in Manchester, the LGBT Foundation, the Central Library and the People's History Museum, comprising several presentations of diverse history presented by a mixture of academics, LGBT enthusiasts and activists. Sitting alongside the popular presentations was an academic conference with the inaugural Alan Horsfall Lecture given by Professor Charles Upchurch of Florida University. This is now a yearly event funded by the Campaign for Homosexual Equality. Stephen M. Hornby was appointed as the first national playwright in residence to LGBT History Month. The first production created as a result of this was a three-part heritage premiere co-written with Rick Brady and performed across the weekend called A Very Victorian Scandal, which dramatised new research about a drag ball in 1880 in Hume. The following year, the festival expanded to 6 hubs around England and the conference had its own slot. In 2017, there were 18 venues around the country, and by now over 100 presentations on LGBT history had been given. In 2019, there were 18 venues, including the first international events in the Republic of Ireland, Sweden, Norway and New York. From 2016, Schools Out UK has partnered with several contract publishers to produce magazines as an official guide to LGBT History Month, putting 35,000 copies of their publication into every secondary school in the UK, plus community spaces, charities and businesses. The magazine had introductions from the leaders of all the main political parties and the Mayor of London. The magazine's diversity dashboard runs job adverts and events listings from LGBT-friendly employers and the community. Many thanks to Wikipedia and www.outingthepast.com for the supporting information regarding LGBT History Month. For those of you who wish to find out more about all the different LGBT plus identities, sexualities, genders, kinks and fetishes featured in LGBT History Month, you can grab a hold of the new My Umbrella Guide to LGBT plus available from our online shop, which is located at myumbrella.org.uk/shop. Here you will also find loads of lovely merch in the form of badges, keyrings, bottle opens, magnets and coasters, and a huge selection of various flag designs. Even better, we can now offer personalised products with various flag combinations and can produce almost any flag that is not currently featured in our listings. If you fancy being a part of any future shows, do get in touch with details to follow. Don't worry about people knowing your real name or hearing your real voice, as we have ways and means to disguise this and you don't have to use your real name. Of course, if any of you want to find out more about My Umbrella, or even regarding the whereabouts of where we are going to be next turning up, or any of the socials that we will be running monthly, feel free to check out our Facebook, Instagram or Twitter platforms for more information. Just type in My Umbrella into the search bar of any of these and you will find us. We would love to hear from any of you out there who want us to showcase your LGBT plus identity, or if you have any other suggestions or ideas for our podcast. Just drop us an email to info@myumbrella.org.uk and put in the subject line Under the Brolly and let us know what LGBT plus identity, sexuality, gender, kink, fetish or idea you want us to feature. It could be yours or one that you've never heard of. Until the next time, see you soon.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT Radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast. The only one on my mind.
How to catch love.
Why did you do that? See, this is why me and Andy have a problem, because I was singing along and that had to come
on. I mean, the huge great red light opposite you that says Mike Live on it kind of is a little bit of a giveaway.
I was closing my eyes and feeling the moment, you know, as you do as a proper non-singer.
The audience for joining in with you.
Oh, wow, I loved it. Thank you. And actually, I'd like to say once again, brilliant song choice.
I'd never thought I'd hear that from
you. It was in this
century.
I hope so.
Is that twice in one show?
Nara? I know. Yeah. I'm feeling a bit ill, don't worry.
That's called A Power Over Me by Dermot Kennedy, that one.
Excellent. I bought a modern album the other day. I was in HMV and I bought...
Sorry, where?
Album.
HMV.
HMV.
Don't pretend you're too old.
It's a record shop, you know.
The
window,
yeah.
Everyone knows what HMV is.
You can check Spotify,
and
that's what you know.
It was Lizzo.
I love it.
It's great, yeah.
Have you got the juice, Terry?
Sorry?
Have you got the juice?
Have I got the juice?
Yeah. It's one of her songs.
I tell you what my favourite one of Lizzo's is Good as Hell.
Oh,
good,
yeah.
Good as hell. I love that one. I got a bottle of tequila I'm keeping for you. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Oh, yeah. Right. Well, there's one that says, I got the juice. I think that's her. Well, if it's not, she has a lot of juice.
Oh, she does. She's fantastic.
She's just got a lot of stuff that I want to drink. So, what are we talking about now?
I think Tara's got something. I think we should...
It's a nice segue when you've run out of things to say.
Oh, no, in my head, I was getting way more dirty, and I was just like, can't be on air.
All right, okay, that could be arranged. There you go, lovely. So, sorry, Steph, what are we doing?
Philip Schofield.
Yes.
I think we should
Should we give him a clap?
It was a huge story.
Well, I think good on him, you know, personally. I don't imagine that was easy for 1 minute for him or his family.
Especially on television. And for people that don't know, because we do have listeners overseas, Philip Schofield is a TV and radio presenter in the UK. He's 57 and he started on hospital radio down in Plymouth in Andy's part of the world. And in fact, his brother's a DJ, isn't he?
Yeah, his brother was a DJ on Gemini Radio down in Devon as well, back in the 90s.
Philip Schofield first came to national attention being the continuity announcer for the children's section of BBC One in the days before there were separate children's channels.
When he had brown hair.
He's a silver fox now.
Oh. Yeah.
And he got married and has two daughters, but he came out live on television last Friday because he presents a daytime magazine program called This Morning.
Very emotional. Yeah. It brought a tear to my eye.
But all the newspapers absolutely went crazy, didn't they? They was like, oh my
most
God,
were supportive,
he's
I think,
gay.
Weren't they?
I believe so, yeah. I mean, I think most of the reaction, even from the sort of like tabloid papers like the Daily Mail and so on, was
positive. I didn't see any negative,
positive.
Actually. Yeah.
I mean, you can't really be negative in these time day and age. You would get slaughtered.
Don't put it past some of the tabloids.
Yeah. I mean, but it's against the law to be homophobic, of course.
He was well liked.
Negative.
He is well liked.
And he is popular, I mean, without kind of sounding too stereotypical, a lot of people perhaps home in the daytime watching his shows are maybe of retirement age or older. Mm. And they all love him. So, you know, I think.
And all seem to have been fairly supportive.
So. And supportive.
His family have been immensely supportive. His daughters and his wife spoke out with their support, didn't they?
Which
is
so good.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
So.
Well, hopefully there will be a time where we no longer have to come out, and it's just like, oh, cool, move on.
Yeah.
But for those times that we haven't, I'm so glad that he did, and he's part of our community.
Genuinely, when you start a show like Shout Out, it's one of the things you really hope you will see in the time that you're doing it is the need to not need one of the letters that we cover.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is going to happen in my time. But
no, but we can strive for that.
Know. Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. I think. Yeah. Well done, Philip. I was going to say something. It's time to go.
Cut off right there.
Cut off in my prime.
Anyway, that's it for this week's show. As always, catch it again online along with all of our other podcasts. Just head on over to shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Today's show was presented by myself, Lara Lanamy, Andy Shilton. News readers were Terry Starr and Andy, all produced by Steph Barnett.
Join us next week where we look into the history of drag.
But
for myself, the rest of the team, and Andy Hole, say goodbye, everyone.
Bye now.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.